Welcome to Torti Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sivi Zuckerman, and today we will be studying Malachim Bet, Perek Yud, Chapter 10. There's an adage that says, "The greatest harm in the world has been done by people with good intentions." If there's any idea that you would call tragic, I think it's this one. When someone means so well, yet still manages to do something so wrong and so deeply harmful, that's really tragic. A leader may act on the national stage with the best of intentions. However, since his choices as a leader have such a sweeping national impact, good intentions are not enough. He needs to be extremely careful about his choices and his actions. We will see that Yehu's intentions were pure and good, but unfortunately, he did not follow through completely in his actions. He failed in his mission to lead the people back to God, and the impact for Malchut Yisrael was tragic. We'll try to identify what it was that led him astray. We begin this parak in the middle of the story of Yehu's dramatic coup d'etat of Beit Ahav. Yehu has killed Yehoram Melech Yisrael, Ahazi Melech Yehuda, as well as Yehoram's evil mother Izebel. However, his mission is not yet complete. Beit Ahav was a strong dynasty with an enormous power structure in place, including many family members and supporters, as well as an idolatrous cult of the Baal, with all of its attendant priests, temples, and monuments. Yehu will need to do a number of things in order to consolidate his power. One, he will need to garner support from the existing leadership of Malchut Yisrael in order to really take control. Two, he will need to silence any possible opposition to ensure a strong position as the new leader. And three, as a usurper, he will need to establish his legitimacy as the new ruler. We will see how he accomplishes each of these three goals. First, Yehu needs to get support from the leaders, so he sends a letter to the elders of Shomron, verifying that they'll support him. Recognizing that he has already killed the king, they fearfully agree to support him. He instructs them in Pasuk Vav, verse 6, to kill Ahav's 70 sons who are being raised by these elders of Shomron and bring their heads to him. Yehu specifies the number of princes so that they won't squirrel away an heir. The elders comply with Yehu's directive and they send the heads of Ahav's 70 sons to Yehu in baskets. He wants to ensure that they won't back out on their support, and therefore he forces them to demonstrate their support by collaborating with him in eliminating the rest of Beit Ahav. Once they're collaborators, they will have no choice other than to support him. Yehu's second goal is to silence opposition. He wants to make sure everyone is on board with this endeavor. He does this by taking the heads of the princes and piling them up at the city gates. The people in the city gather to see this gruesome sight, and they realize that the royal family has been eliminated. He then announces to the people in Pasuk Tet, verse 9, "I may have killed the king, but who killed all the princes?" In this way, he cunningly incriminates the existing leadership so that they're forced to remain on his side. He also executes the remaining elements of Beit Ahav, including any advisors and the remaining family members of Ahaziah Melech Yehuda. Yehu's third goal is to establish legitimacy. Even if he's gained support and silenced criticism for now, he knows that he can't maintain long-term support for his government if he doesn't convince the people that he's a legitimate ruler, not just some rogue usurper. He establishes legitimacy by repeatedly emphasizing that everything he's doing is fulfilling Eliyahu's prophecy to Ahav. In Pasuk Yud, verse 10, he says, "Du'u efo ki lo yipol midvar Hashem arza, asher diber Hashem al beit Ahav." Know then that nothing that Hashem has spoken concerning the house of Ahav shall remain unfulfilled. V'Hashem asa et asher diber biyad avdo Eliyahu. For Hashem has done what he announced through his servant Eliyahu. He emphasized that he's working for God and not to increase his own power. In Pasuk Tet Zayin, verse 16, he says, "Ur'ei b'kenati l'Hashem, see my zeal for Hashem." And in Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17, the Navi emphasizes that he was killing out Beit Ahav to fulfill the word of Hashem in the Nevuah given to Eliyahu. Now that Beit Ahav has been destroyed, Yehu's next project is to eliminate the Baal cult from Malchut Yisrael. However, in his attempt to eliminate the Baal worshippers, Yehu makes a critical mistake. He tries to trick the Baal worshippers into compliance so that he can kill them, telling them in Pasuk Yudchet, verse 18, Achav avadeta Baal ma'at, Yehu yavdenu harbeh. Achav worshipped the Baal a little. However, I, Yehu, will worship it a lot. He tells them to gather all the Nevi'ei HaBaal, the prophets of the Baal, and all the Baal worshippers, telling them that he's going to hold a big ceremony with a sacrifice for the Baal. The Pasuk tells us clearly in Pasuk Yudchet, verse 19, V'Yehu asa v'akba leman ha'avid et avdei HaBaal. Yehu was acting with cunning in order to exterminate the worshippers of the Baal. His tactic works, and the temple of the Baal fills up with all these priests and worshippers wearing special garments for the ceremony. Once the Baal worshippers are clearly identified by their distinctive garments, and he's made sure there are no loyal Jews in the crowd, Yehu instructs the guards to kill everyone inside and to destroy all the monuments to the Baal as well as their temples, and they eradicate the Baal from Malchut Yisrael. However, the Navi points out in Pasuk Chavtet, verse 29, that Yehu does not remove the Egla Yerevam, the golden calves of Yerevam, which prevented the northern tribes from going to the Beit HaMikdash. As we near the end of the story of Yehu, it seems that he's accomplished so much. He's wiped out Beit Ahav, eradicated the terrible Baal cult. Is this going to be the start of a golden era for Malchut Yisrael? Let's look at the way the Navi evaluates Yehu's accomplishments. The evaluation of Yehu seems to be mixed. Let's try to understand. In Pasuk Lamed, verse 30, Hashem says to Yehu, Ya'an asher hativota la'asot hayashar be'enai, because you have acted well and done what was pleasing to me, kechol asher bilvavi asita lebeit Achav, having carried out all that I desired upon the house of Achav, B'nei Revi'im yeshvu lecha al kisei Yisrael. Four generations of your descendants shall occupy the throne of Israel. So on the one hand, we see that Yehu was rewarded with four generations of descendants who will continue his dynasty in Malchut Yisrael. That sounds positive. However, the next pasuk, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, verse 31, is more condemnatory. And it says, V'Yehu lo shamar lalechet b'torat Hashem Elokei Yisrael b'chol levavo. But Yehu was not careful to follow the teachings of Hashem, the God of Israel, with all of his heart. Lo sar me'al chatot Yeravam asher hachati et Yisrael. He did not turn away from the sins that Yeravam had caused Israel to commit. Immediately in the next pasuk, Pasuk Lamed Bet, verse 32, we see the consequence of his behavior. Hazael attacks Malchut Yisrael, serving as the tool of retribution that Elisha had set up for the Jewish people. It seems that Yehu started off with very good intentions, going to enormous efforts to destroy Beit Ahav, wipe out the Baal cult of Malchut Yisrael, and start with a clean slate. We've discussed previously that motivation is a crucial factor in determining whether an action is good. Here, Yehu's intentions are good. If his intentions were so well-meaning, why didn't he carry through to the end and get rid of the Egla Yerevam? What stopped him? Let's focus on two possibilities. One possibility is the opinion of Abaye in the Talmud in Sanhedrin 102a. The Talmud explains that when Yehu said to the Baal worshippers, Achav avad et haba'al ma'at, Yehu yavdenu harbeh, this was a brit kritat l'shvatayim, a covenant that was sealed with his lips. He said that he would worship the Baal as a little white lie, an attempt to trick and ensnare the Baal worshippers so he could more easily wipe them out. However, Abaye teaches us words have enormous power. The fact that he used these treacherous words, even if he did not mean to follow through on them, ensured that his words would come true in some modified form. His words were actualized through his maintenance of the Egla Yerevam and the pseudo-Judaism of alternative holidays and priesthood that came with it. Another possibility of where Yerevam went wrong is offered by the Musar HaNevi'im based on a Medrash. Essentially, the Musar HaNevi'im says, as the famous saying goes, power corrupts, which is an insight into human nature that is true for all but the most altruistic rulers in history. In fact, the original motivation for establishing the Aglaia Yeravam during the time of Yeravam was Yeravam's fear of losing his power and his throne. Perhaps just like Yeravam, who was an enormous Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, who started off with great intentions, but was corrupted by his arrogance and need for power. Yehu, too, was susceptible to the same hunger for power and self-importance. Ultimately, the source of Yehu's downfall is not his lack of good intentions, but rather his poor follow-through in action. He expends enormous effort in this reset for Malchut Yisrael, wipes out the entire power structure of Beit Ahav, and eliminates the insidious, idolatrous cult of the Baal. However, he fails to go all the way and destroy the root of all of Malchut Yisrael's treachery, which were the Eglei Yeravam. Yehu's failure has far-reaching consequences. Although he will personally be rewarded for his efforts by the continuation of his dynasty for four generations, the fate of Malchut Yisrael is sealed at this point for all intents and purposes. Once Yehu's four-generation dynasty has run its course, Malchut Yisrael will spiral downward on a fast descent into violent political instability, progressive religious degeneration, and ultimately the tragic exile of the Aseret HaShvatim, the 10 tribes of Israel, which will be lost to the Jewish people. In reflecting on Yehu, let's think about our own actions. Sometimes our motives are good. We want to be good Jews. We want to connect to God. We want to treat other people with care and consideration, but sometimes our actions don't match up with our good intentions. Let's take this opportunity to choose a small act and tweak our behavior so that it's more in line with halacha, the expression of God's will in this world. Whether in trying to be more careful with the words we use or not to misuse our power over others, let's pull our actions up to the level of our good intentions and make ourselves more integrated and complete human beings. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi nishmas Frida bat Moshe Eliyahu.